Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, kings and queens. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's Jay Wells sending out good vibes to all of our listeners. Welcome to TNJ Radio. I want to say thank you to all of our fans. We truly appreciate the support. I'm here with my brother T. Foster Trav. What's good, King?
What's going on, my brother? How you doing, man? Peace to everybody out there listening. We appreciate the love. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful afternoon. Word.
Excellent. We just want to take a moment, man, and just kind of give you guys an idea of, like, what this is like for us, man. We appreciate the support. When we get the love from listeners, they tell us good things, man. They tell us things we need to change, things we need to do a better job of. We appreciate it. And we're going straight into our topic today. For many of us just growing up in the inner city, reading wasn't a popular thing to do. It's like between hanging with your boys, hanging with your friends, playing video games, sports, chasing girls, no one was really interested in reading a book, especially when reading, the only thing that kind of came to us for reading was school stuff. And in those books, we weren't always in the best position. They weren't things that kind of inspired us and motivated us to read. So on today's show, we want to go directly in on that and the stigma that black people don't read. So when it comes to reading, we all know the common benefits. But Trav, how has reading benefited you personally?
Well, you know, first off, growing up, I mean, I keep the extra 100. Like, when I was a kid and in my high school days, I mean, I didn't read. You know, I mean, I didn't study in school, you know, high school, Detroit public schools, you know, we didn't really read, we didn't study. So that was never a part of my repertoire. You know, like, all I knew to do was play football and try and graduate from high school. And then after that, it kind of was what it was. It wasn't until I got into college that I realized that I actually had to read, to be quite frank. When I got to college, I was like, oh, if I don't read, I might not pass these classes. And so that was really when, you know, my eyes were open to not only reading, but the power of, you know, reading. And they always say, like, if you want to, you know, that old, like, whack cliche, if you want to hide something from a black person or a black man, put it in a book. And I don't agree with that, but for me personally, you know, it was a lot of knowledge in those books that I would have never ever came across just in everyday conversation. And I would have never learned the things that I learned, and I consider myself self-taught. Virtually everything that I know is self-taught, self-learned from just being curious. And if it's something that I didn't know about when I was in undergrad, I learned that if it's a topic that I don't know about or I'm curious about, I know that it's a book somewhere out there that I can go pick up and read up on it and get better at whatever it is that I'm doing. And so that was really how I got into reading. You know, it was like, okay, I need to read for this class. But then more so it became, I like to read because I want to learn about stuff. When I really started getting into my, you know what I'm saying, I don't like to compare stuff and put things in categories, but when I really started getting into my kind of, you know, like black power, you know, love for the people stage when I was like 18 or 19, and I started reading stuff like, you know what I'm saying, Soul on Ice and the Huey P. Newton reader, and all the Black Panther stuff, that's when I really realized that this is stuff in these books that nobody is ever going to tell me. And had I not been exposed to that through those books, then I think I wouldn't be the person that I am. And so that's kind of how it really jumped off for me. It never happened. It never happened in high school. It never happened in middle school. I didn't come home from school and just start reading. You know, I didn't have parents around and adults around that were responsible and said, all right, you got to read this book before you go outside and start playing. That was never my existence. And so it wasn't really until I became an adult, until I actually learned the power of reading and what could truly be gleaned from that.
And the funny part about that is, bro, I was in a very similar spot, man. It's like, and it's funny because people that know me now, they consider me like a well-read dude, and it's like I honestly never read any non-school related books until after I graduated from college, and that's something that was kind of like a major turning point for me. It's like my first job was selling mortgages right after school. And, you know, you in a sales environment, all these dudes kind of start talking about, oh, man, you just need to see it differently. I started reading books like The Secret, learning more about the law of attraction and all of these things. And, like, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. There's all these sales-related books just trying to kind of get you in the right zone for that. And that's what really kind of started making me read more. And as I kind of matured and kind of started growing out of, just started growing within myself, I started getting more into those so-called conscious books or caring more about my culture, my people kind of thing. And that's when I kind of started developing that urge to self-educate. Because it's like a lot of books were kind of like empowering, but then I started kind of finding myself into things that were like empowering, like my higher self, like my appreciating myself and my culture and those kind of things. And when I started reading that way, I felt like it opened up an entirely new dimension of myself. My view of myself changed. My expectations of myself changed. So it was like the level of empowerment that kind of kicked in when you start reading about your culture and your history, and those things really started affecting me. And it's one of those things, man, it kind of like makes you realize, like, geez, how come this information was never like readily available to me? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why weren't we taught this in school? Why weren't these the kind of books being kicked to us? It's like, you think about the books, man, we read in school, and again, both products of Detroit Public Schools, man, those books, I think the coolest book I can remember from high school was probably Beowulf. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't even think of something that was like really worth reading. So it's one of those things. It's like, I really think we got shorted in that regard, but it's like the lack of direction within like the people on the block. And again, neither one of us really had like that stable family situation for anyone to kind of like dictate, hey man, you should read this, you should read that. But it's one of those things that we had to kind of find on our own. And unfortunately, many of us have to do it that way. We kind of get put in a position where we have to find the light for ourselves. But just going in on books, man, like, what are some of your favorites? What are, like, some books that kind of changed your life? Who are some of your favorite authors?
Well, I think one of the things before I jump into that, though, that I would like to add is that simply put, reading is important, but most importantly, reading increases a person's vocabulary, and I think that's one of the main issues that faces our community when it comes to the reading or the lack thereof, meaning, you know, it not being a pertinent issue in our community, something that we push. So when you hear words, when people read to you, when you hear those words over and over again, it increases your vocabulary and thus making you a more formidable person. And I think that's really important. And that's a point that, you know, can't be lost. Like, you know, that can't be lost on us right now, because the better you are when it comes to your vocabulary, you know, the better off you are. And I think hearing words and people reading to you and you reading, that's what really kind of helps catapult you into the person that you're going to become, because the better you can express yourself, the easier you can do a lot of things. You can be a better conflict manager when you have a better vocabulary. You know, you can rectify situations better and explain things better and get out of situations or fix situations or you know, cut off a conflict before it starts when your vocabulary is right. But that starts off from the beginning, from hearing words and having words read to you and things of that nature. And so
no doubt,
the reading goes much further than you reading yourself, but people reading to you, you know, whether it's your parents or whoever your legal guardian might be, you know, in our case. But in terms of books that changed my life and things of that sort, I'm not an author dude. So I don't cling to authors. I don't, like, full disclosure, I don't particularly care about authors in the sense of I'm checking for a person when they write a book. So if, I don't know, James Baldwin or somebody was writing a book, and, you know, just use him as an example, I'm not looking for James Baldwin books. Like, I look for topics. So I'm more of a topic person when it comes to what I read. So I look for areas of interest. So, for example, I'm a nonfiction reader. I don't read things that didn't actually happen. So if it's an event that didn't actually occur, I have no interest in it. Even if it's, you know, it's like watching Rescue 911 back in the day, right? It was like reenactment of people getting hurt and then getting taken to the hospital. Like, I had no interest in that because I wasn't actually seeing the real event that occurred. So I like to read things that actually happen because I like to be a realist and see things for what they are. A lot of people read for escapism and things of that sort, which I completely respect. And if that's how you read and that's your zone, I'm good with that. But for me, I'm always looking for knowledge when I read. I'm always looking for something that I don't know or I can use to better myself. And for me personally, those topics in fictional books just don't do it for me. So I wanted to preface it with that and kind of lay that foundation just to kind of, you know, let folks know where I'm coming from. But for me personally, I would say there's a couple books that changed my life at different points in time. The book that I would say was hands down, unequivocally, the most influential book in my life was the autobiography of Malcolm X. No question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Like, that book absolutely changed my life. I think I read it when I was like 19, if I'm not mistaken. It was somewhere around there. And it was the first time that I ever had a book in my hand that I was reading recreationally. And only for those purposes, it had nothing to do with a class, and I literally could not put it down. Wherever I went, I had that book with me for about 3 or 4 days, and I smashed through it in about probably 3-4 days tops, I would say. I don't think it made it to a fifth day. I would say 3 or 4 days, and that book literally changed my life, man. Like, it turned me into a completely different person. It changed the way I viewed the world. It changed the way I viewed people. It did a lot for me. And then fast forward about 15 years or so, the other book that I would say really changed my life is a book that I would recommend people go out and read. And it's called The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson. And that book is about the Great Migration from the South. And it talks about how black folks came from Mississippi and migrated to what became inner cities in the North. So, for example, she really outlines how inner cities and quote-unquote ghettos were actually created, you know, from the South to the North for black people. And the most telling part about it and the thing that touched my soul the most is, like, it really outlines, and if you're from Chicago and you listen to this, you should really read it because it outlines how the South Side of Chicago was literally created so that black people would forever, eternally live in poverty and in the slums on the South Side of Chicago. And it's an absolutely fascinating read how white folks purposefully raise the prices of these homes so that you couldn't afford them in the other areas. And then they already own the land South Side, and so they charge you a higher price to live there, but it was a price that you could afford, and you couldn't afford to live anywhere else, so you had to live there. So all the black people that came up from Mississippi ended up living on the South Side of Chicago, and you could not afford to live anywhere else outside of that area. And it was literally created and masterfully planned for that. And so I read that probably maybe 2 years ago because it's a fairly new book. But those would be the two books that I would say that absolutely, you know what I'm saying, changed my view on people and life in general. What about you, man?
Bro, how addictive is the autobiography of Malcolm X? I swear, dude, anybody who reads that book, it's impossible to hold that book longer than a week. And it's not a short book. But when you start reading it, it's like it's one of the most contagious books ever. But I didn't want to go through. I didn't want to kind of share that book. I knew you were going to say that. But I knew you were going to say that, so I didn't even use it. I was prepared. But for me, man, the book that kind of got me interested into our culture, like on a higher level, was something. And a lot of people don't really care for this dude, but he really did a lot, man. He was very important to our people. It was Souls of Black Folk by W.B. Du Bois, and it's funny, man. I even stumbled across this book on a fluke. I was getting ready to move from Detroit, and I ended up snatching this book from my cousin Freddie just because, and he was getting ready to drop me off. And I just kind of snatching it from him, and I ended up reading it, and it ended up becoming one of those things that kind of triggered me going forward, man. It's like when you read this book, kind of, and it kind of sets a lot of things and gives you a lot of perspective on things on how we were viewed and how we viewed each other. A lot of the self-hate and a lot of the things that we deal with to this day, like how ghettos were created and then how we kind of developed some of these habits that still kind of hold us back now. And I feel like that book kind of just opened up, it just created a larger interest for me. And it's one of those things, man, it's you kind of get that feeling like, wow, how did we get here? And it kind of lays the blueprint on how we got here. You know what I mean? And it was really just a good read, and his perspective was very honest, especially considering the times. And it's really quick. It's really easy for brothers to look at him and be like, oh, man, he was kind of Uncle Tom, kind of a sellout, all this other stuff. But, yo, he was painting a picture. He was telling you what it was, and a lot of people don't really like to hear that, especially coming from another brother. So again, it's one of those things that we were kind of trained into not wanting to hear from another brother. Another book that really kind of made a major impact with me was Elijah Muhammad's Message to the Black Man. And again, I'm not a Muslim. I'm not really a religious person like that, but it's just like, yo, Elijah Muhammad laid a blueprint for how to be a man in America, not even just being a black man, but just being a man in America. He gave a lot of insight on how to take pride in yourself, being comfortable, being strong, and being nurturing all at the same time. And again, people have their own opinions on him as a person, but just taking into consideration this body of work and reading that, it applies to everyday life.
That book is fire. That book is fire.
It's like, and again, people don't like him personally, but that is one of the most captivating books I've ever read. And again, that's not a short read, but again, it's so addictive, it's hard to put it down. It's like, that was one of those books, man, it's kind of like, he gave a real blueprint. And, again, I don't care who you are, where you are in your life, it's hard to kind of, like, take that message for granted and not appreciate him and his work. And another book, it's kind of, like, not necessarily in the same line as these, but just me personally, man, it helped expand my mind a lot on a lot of different things. It was Malcolm Gladwell's The Outliers. And people forget, man, Malcolm Gladwell's like half Jamaican, you know what I'm saying? So he's got a lot of the same blood that we have, you know what I'm saying? And this dude kind of laid down some really good insight as far as like learning the things that make people great, you know, talking about the 10,000 hour rule. And that's something that really kind of sits with me because I'm the first person to say, man, you're going to get in what you put in. 10,000 hour rule, if you never heard of it, you know, you're not familiar with it, definitely check it out. It's an amazing concept because it kind of explains the time and effort people put into accessing their greatness, no matter what it is, no matter what your profession is, if you're an athlete, if you're a scientist, if you're a social worker, whatever it is, you got to pay that tax. And that tax is time. And that book really kind of laid that out. And it was a great piece of work, man. It's one of those things that, it's like impossible not to apply it. And for me, that's something that's always been important to me, books that I feel like apply to me. It's, you know what I mean? It's like it's one of those things. It's easy for me to apply. And that's why, similar to you, it's like I'm not really big on like these fantasy books and things like that, which is kind of crazy considering a lot of the stuff I kind of enjoy. But it's like I'm not really a fan of like reading sort of fantasy books and a lot of that kind of stuff. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's not as easy as a read as something that's laying out life lessons or material that's tangible. You know what I mean? It's like that's something that's really like crazy to me. But really quick, Trav, I wanted to follow up on something, man. You mentioned you were talking about vocabulary and how reading impacts your vocabulary and how you're able to kind of use an expanded vocabulary to kind of help you deal with life situations. You know what I mean? Can you go into that a little bit more, man? Because I really like where you were going with that.
Yeah, I want to definitely. I want to throw out the only nonfiction book, real talk, that I have ever read in my life that I can recall. And it was like a profound read, and it actually kind of changed my life too. So, and I know everybody probably has read it, but I just want to throw it out there and show some love and respect to it. Was Things Fall Apart, and obviously not nonfiction, but a fictional read. I don't know if I think I said fictional, but a fictional read that changed my life was Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. And essentially, if you haven't read Things Fall Apart, it's about this African tribe and how they had all of their own traditions and religions and all of this type of stuff. And then white folks came over, like white missionaries came over and literally pushed Christianity on the entire village, and then eventually destroyed, you know, all of their ancient traditions of religions and how they view religions and how they made sacrifices to the gods and all that type of stuff. And then they came in and pushed Christianity on this completely, you know what I'm saying, new group of folks that they didn't know, and then eventually wound up converting the whole community into Christians, basically. And I just found that book absolutely fascinating because it's actually like a microcosm of the world, essentially, when you look at it from a sphere of how Christianity spread and how black folks overall kind of took on an identity that we never really knew whether it was ours or not.
And, exactly.
And now it's kind of ours, but Things Fall Apart was an absolute amazing read, and I just assume people read it, but if you haven't, check it out. It's amazing. But back to the vocabulary piece, I mean, it's just one of those things where my vocabulary was awful when I left from Detroit as a, you know what I'm saying, 17-year-old going into undergrad, right? Like, I probably had a vocabulary of about 200 or 300 words, you know what I mean? I wasn't saying a lot, right?
Like, no, I feel you, bro. That's why it's so funny to me, man, because I was in the same boat, still saying stuff like sinner, bouncer, all types of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I had about a 100 or 200 word vocabulary. You know, I wasn't really expounding upon much at that point in time. I wasn't really saying a whole lot. And then once I had to expand that, it became readily apparent to me that the reason that was the case was because, for one, I hadn't been reading, and for two, people hadn't read to me. And then when I started to see other ethnicities and cultures and got to get more exposure to them and saw how they consistently, and I know, let's be clear, there's tons of black folks that read to their kids and make that a priority. And you know what I'm saying? Definitely salute out to them, you know what I'm saying? Because our people do that in masses and in droves. But as a culture overall, we don't. If we are completely honest with ourselves, and that's okay to be honest with ourselves in that space. But I saw how they did things, and I was like, man, like, I don't know a single soul that does that. Like, I don't know a single person that reads to their child before their kid go to bed. I don't know a single person that reads books to their kids. And I'm being 100% honest. Like, I didn't know anybody that did that. And then once I started to realize, like, yo, these kids talk this way and act this way in terms of their verbiage because they've heard a lot of words. And, like, I had not heard a lot of words. I had heard B, I had heard H, I had heard F that N word, you know what I'm saying? I had heard let's go to the stove. You know what I mean? Like, my vocabulary and the words that I had been exposed to was so small that I wasn't in a position to branch out and really match wits with these people. Like, I was completely unprepared, and all of that, you know, is spawned from the lack of reading that I didn't do myself and the lack of reading that people didn't do to me or for me, however you want to look at it.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's like, that's one of those things, man. It's like we kind of get put into those boxes by accident. We get thrown in a box by accident just because that wasn't something that was put in front of us. You know what I mean? It's like we just weren't prepared for that. But real quick, man, we've got a few minutes left. Let's go ahead and jump into solutions. And this week for solutions, we just want to kind of go in and throw out some book suggestions that we just recommend for all of our listeners. And Trav, go ahead. What kind of suggestions did you have?
First of all, I mean, my solutions are simple. I mean, obviously they're books, but I suggest that we read things that are interesting to us. I just tweeted out, and if you follow me on Twitter, TFOS_, I tweeted out a book that I just got. Shout out to my girl, MgoJen on Twitter. Brand new John B. Bacon book, The End Zone, The Rise, Fall, and Return of Michigan Football. Is that a book that has anything to do with black people? No. You feel me? But it's something that I'm interested in. It keeps my mind going. It keeps me sharp. You feel what I'm saying? And, like, that's one of the things that we have to be conscious of. Like, it doesn't have to be the deepest book. It doesn't have to be the sharpest, but it has to be something that you're interested in. And so whatever you do, read something that you're interested in. In terms of books that I would recommend, one of my favorite books that I read in the last, I would say, a year or so, was definitely a book called We Real Cool by Bell Hooks. I don't label myself as a feminist. I don't put myself in those types of boxes, but that's a wonderful book about black men and masculinity. And then I'll throw another one out there, but it's for me because I like reading up on my craft. So I encourage you to read up on your craft. So whatever your profession is, keep your head in books that's wrapped around your profession. And one of my favorite books of all time, y'all know me, I'm a fundraiser, and the book is called The Ask, because I ask for money for a living. So the book is called The Ask by Laura Fredericks. That's one of my favorite books because it literally helped me get better at asking money. But in terms of our conversation for today, I would say We Real Cool, Black Men and Masculinity by Bell Hooks is the number one book I would recommend right now.
Shout out to Bell Hooks, man, because I was going to – that was like one of my – that was definitely something that was like on my tongue, but it was Bell Hooks, but not that particular book. It was Rock My Soul, Black People and Self-Esteem. I recommend anyone reading that book, man. You're going to get something very
crazy.
It's a fire, amazing book. Definitely check it out. And another one is No More Invisible Men by Asia Harvey Wingfield. Amazing read. It's about race and gender and men's work. And it's essentially about the place that black men have in corporate America, how we're treated, how we're viewed. It's a great read, and it gives amazing insight on as far as like what we deal with and also how to kind of maneuver in that room, you know. And it's like I said, it's a really good read. It's something strong, and it gives you a good vibe. Trav, before we wrap up, man, anything you wanted to add?
You know what? I mean, I just want to encourage all our brothers and sisters out there to, you know, just take a few minutes out your time and carve out a few minutes to read a few days a week. You know what I'm saying? Whether it be a magazine or whatever, just take a few moments out your time to read, because it keeps you fresh and it keeps you crisp and it keeps your mind on point. And at the end of the day, we need to stay sharp.
No doubt. And that's something that we all need to take into consideration, man. Just 10 to 15 minutes, make sure you get that time in. Take a moment for yourself, enjoy some peace and quiet, read a book, get something good into your system. As always, man, we appreciate the listeners. You get an opportunity. Follow us both on Instagram and Twitter. TFoss_ for my bro Trav and Worldwide Wells for myself. And again, as we always say, God is love. Have a great week.